Cambridge 105 Radio's charity of the month for March is Anna's Hope, which provides support services for children being treated for brain tumours and their families. Neil Whiteside met with the charity's founder, Carol Hughes, to find out more.
Cambridge 105 Radio's charity of the month for March is Anna's Hope, and I'm joined in the studio by the founder, Carol Hughes. Carol, hi.
Hello there.
Tell us about the charity. It sounds to me like it's a very personal story.
It most certainly is. Anna was a gift that I was given 10 years ago now. After having our first daughter, Sarah, I was led to believe that I probably wouldn't have any more children. And then at the grand age of 40, I discovered what I thought was middle-aged spread coming in for a woman, was that I actually was pregnant, and I had 12 weeks to go before gave birth to Anna. For those of you that are listening, that are parents out there, you'll realise that once a little child comes along, that nothing gets done in the house. So my poor husband, we had new carpets, new curtains, the house was painted inside and out and everything, because I knew it just wouldn't get done for another 10 years. You know, for the first year of her life, I kept looking at her thinking, gosh, you know, I can't believe, you know, that you're mine, and kept thinking, what if something was to happen to you? What if? It was almost like I was wishing it on her.
I was going to say, did you have like a bad feeling then?
No, it was such a miracle that she was there, and I was blessed with her, really. And she had her second birthday, and she loved fairies, and she had all little friends around and long blonde hair. I'm telling that for a reason, because I'm setting a scene. And then at 2.5, she started nursery, and I got a phone call to say, Anna's not feeling very well. And I said, it's funny you should say that, because I think she's not very well either. And so she was acting as if she was drunk. She couldn't walk in a straight line. She's been violently sick. It was almost like she had a middle ear infection. So I went along to the doctors, as you do. And because I was 40, I was probably labelled as an elderly mother. And I said, you know, she's feeling dizzy. And I was told that a 2.5-year-old doesn't know what dizzy is. Well, she clearly did. She was holding her urine from about 6 o'clock at night until 1 o'clock the next day, and then flooding the floor. She was still in nappies. She was just having an awful time, and there clearly was something wrong with her. Anyway, after the fifth time of going, they finally got it, and we went into hospital, and they did a CT scan on her. And, you know, I shouldn't have known different, that, you know, they took me into a little room and said, well, you know, she hasn't got a middle ear infection, as you think, because obviously she was dizzy. Did you know she had a brain abnormality? And what possessed me to say, has she got a brain tumour? I have no idea, because I didn't know what a brain tumour was. Yeah. And he said, I don't know. It's actually a brain abnormality, and we need to get you to Addenbrookes. We tried to get to Addenbrookes, and there was no bed. They started the treatment on steroids to try and reduce the tumour. And eventually, the next day, we got to Addenbrookes, and we got to the ward, and a student nurse greeted us and took us to the ward. And, of course, there's all children there with no hair. And I said, I think we're on the wrong ward. And she said, well, of course, all the children on here have got cancer. And I went, but we haven't got cancer. So we went from a middle ear infection to a brain abnormality, to a brain tumour, to a cancerous brain tumour within 24 hours.
How do you even deal with that? I'm a parent myself. Yeah. And
to say,
I don't know,
personally,
where you start.
As a mum, and obviously as parents, obviously, to say we'd been to hell and back in 24 hours was an understatement. And the treatment that we were to undergo, I mean, she had an 8.5-hour operation to remove the tumour. And I remember the anaesthetist coming out of the theatre and crying. And I said, what's wrong? And he said it was the size of a peach and it's working its way down her spine. And we've done the best we can. We've got 98% out, which was, you know, it was great. And, you know, where there's life, there is hope. And we had to keep a big smile on our faces. We had to have 15.5 months of chemotherapy. And the chemotherapy they give children with a brain tumour is extremely grueling, really is grueling. And it's like pouring oil onto a rose garden. And you've asked me the question of what it's like. It's like a greasy tin and falling into it and trying to climb out with your fingers and sliding back down, because every step forward there's a step back as well. Spent 15.5 months in and out of hospital every other week having chemotherapy.
And how old was she at this point?
She was 2.5.
Still 2.5. So you found it and it was acted on really quite quickly.
Yes.
But how do you explain to a 2.5-year-old what's going on?
This is the point. I remember saying to her, you know, you were going to put to sleep, and Helen, she was the consultant, she was going to take this lump away from your head and that you wouldn't feel dizzy anymore and you'd be fine. Well, I was lying, because when Anna woke up, obviously she had tubes, she was in intensive care, she had tubes coming out of every hole that she had. And for Anna, it was absolutely devastating because she knew she was going to be okay. Well, what poor child, when she woke up, she could hardly see. Her sight was fine, but she had double vision. She could hardly walk, and she definitely couldn't swallow. And these are all, you know, parts of your body that you need to function. So, you know, Mummy was lying. We just had to hope and pray over the 15 and a half months that it would get better. I remember the hospital asked us to hold her down while they stuck a camera down her throat without anaesthetic. Well, that was just barbaric, and it was then and there that, you know, we decided that we were going to have to do something longer term, whether Anna lived or she died, because it was just, there was just nothing there that could help her in Edinburgh.
So this isn't really very long ago, is it?
No, it was 10 years ago.
And that's surprising to hear you say it like that. The story you're describing sort of sounds like, you know, Britain in the 60s or something.
Yeah, there's just nothing there. So, I mean, for Anna, we needed to get her swallow back, and there was nobody in the hospital that could help her to get her swallow back, just to have normal functioning. She was just so, so brave. I remember some of the chemo she'd had about four lots of different chemos that would actually give her muscle spasms. And I said to the consultant, you know, it's like almost labour pains. They didn't believe me. And I said, right, you sit down. And I said, right, 10 minutes into on the dot, this is what's going to happen. And they said, yes, you know, this, and they agreed. But for each case, it's every case is different.
Sure.
And the thing is, with a brain tumour, if you've got cancer of the knee, you've got cancer of the knee or cancer of the leg. But the brain facilitates everything.
Yes.
And every single case is different. Anna, some of the children, they have radiotherapy. Because Anna was under five, it would have retarded her. So that's an option that we couldn't have.
Right.
But in the end, that's if the option, the card was there, obviously as parents you would take it. And that was our next card. We hoped and prayed that that Anna would be one of the lucky ones to survive, because, you know, for those that are lucky enough to survive, their lives can be severely compromised.
Mm.
And as a parent, we just had to keep upbeat the whole time, and one of us would go home at night and the other one would sleep by her bed because there was no room at the inn, as it were.
Yes.
And it doesn't just affect the child, it affects the whole family. I mean, I had people at home. Sarah was doing her GCSEs at the time, so parents had to sort of move in. Luckily for us, obviously in some cases there aren't. Mm. It's a huge struggle.
Mm.
As I say, Sarah's doing her GCSEs, and at home we had to, you know, come back and pretend everything was normal. But what is normal?
it must be all-encompassing. It's just,
yeah,
it's on your mind every second of,
yeah,
the day. And throughout that 15 months, how do you get... were you getting progress reports? Or is it just, well, we throw this out for 15 months and we see what we've got at the end?
Well, obviously, from patient to patient, nobody knows what the outcome's going to be, and each case has to be taken as an individual. So we're having regular MRI scans. We would just try and live from day to day as the best we could.
Mm.
Because Anna, obviously, she couldn't swallow, so she had to be fed by nose tube. And when the nose tube didn't, you know, would come out, we had to go to the hospital. And for Anna, it was really traumatic. Well, for lots of children, to have a nose tube shoved down your nose,
yeah,
it's just awful. Anna would also become neutropenic. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's why the chemotherapy wipes out your white blood cells, so that you're very prone to getting colds and, so, you know, and coughs and things. And we tried to keep life for Anna as normal as we could. So when she was at home, I'd take her to school, and luckily the school I knew, and she'd have a Hickman line in as well. And I tried to keep everything as normal as possible. And I tried to, you know, to educate her as well, and just keep her abreast with life as it was. I mean, I remember she couldn't read, obviously. She was only 2 and a half, but we used to spend a lot of time in John Lewis. And I remember coming down the A14 when there wasn't a crash, and her saying to me, "Mummy, that says John Lewis." And I went, "Oh my goodness!"
Wow.
So that was it was really nice.
So she was still a bright little thing, and all that.
Yeah, she filled us up with a lot of wisdom, even in times of pain. You know, she would try and keep cheery for the children as well, because she did. She had a permanent smile on her face, and we made sure we did as well. But, you know, inside, we were weeping.
Yeah, absolutely.
From day to day, we just didn't know what was going to happen next. And, you know, it's just awful.
Okay, and at the end of 15 months?
Well, at the end of 15 months, we had an MRI scan, and as I say, we hoped and prayed. Sadly, it wasn't meant to be, and for Anna, it came back on the same side, it went to the other side, and was working its way down her spine. I said, well, how long have we got? And they said, we don't know, weeks, months. we had hours and days. We got to know on the Tuesday that it wasn't good, and then by that weekend she became very tired and was sleeping a lot. And I don't know how to explain this, but she had a little nephew who was born. On the day that she finished her chemo, her little nephew was born. The weekend that she passed away, she met her nephew, and it was almost like she'd hung on to meet him. Anna didn't have a dummy while she was... but whilst she was in hospital, lots of children had dummies as comforters, and Anna thought it was great, so we had a big bucket full of comforters, because every time we went out to the shops, it became a bit of a fun thing to do, to go and find another dummy that was a bit different. So we had a whole pot of dummies, which I still got in her room, actually. And she thought, what are you going to buy, you know, your little nephew for... as a gift, and she said, I'm going to buy him a dummy. So I remember on the Sunday that she passed away, her daddy, him arriving and her having a hold, and Rob, my husband, he took her into Boots, and she had a little purse and a handbag, and she got down and she chose the dummy, and there was two in a pack and had trains on. So she kept one and she gave the other one to her nephew. And then they went home. She, that night... She passed away. It was a very spiritual moment that she was actually asleep in our bed with us, and we knew something was happening, but we didn't know what. And you know, part of me says, right, come on, let's try and resuscitate her. But do you know what? The only thing that I'm living with is the fact that Anna left us as Anna, because she actually had a stroke that they said that it probably wouldn't happen, but she did. She had a stroke, and she didn't come around from it. She could have been left blind, just so frightening. So, I'm. That's the thing. She left us as Anna, and that's our saving grace. But it was a very, very spirit. People say, "What's it like for your child to die?" Well, it's a very sorry, I've lost it now.
Can I take time?
It's almost like Anna's guardian angel came and took her. It was very, very peaceful, and it was almost not a relief at all. I can't say that at all.
Exactly. I think anybody who is a parent would know what you mean.
Yeah.
That it's the suffering is over. It's not a relief, but yeah,
the suffering was over.
And for you too, in a way, because it must be awful.
Well, yeah, I live with it from day to day. Anna's, with me every minute of the day, because people say to me, where do you get the strength to do what you do? Well, the answer is, I don't know. It just comes. And having been in the situation as a family, not only was I Anna's mum, I was Anna's carer as well.
Yeah.
It's just devastating. And I almost think now, was Anna brought along for a purpose for us to do? Because I've now found a purpose in life that I didn't realise that I had.
Didn't realise you were looking for.
Yeah. She's with me every minute of the day, and we have a lot of tears and we have a lot of joy and we have a lot of sadness, but all the time we're making that difference.
At least, and the memory is still there as well.
Absolutely.
So what made you decide to set up a charity?
Whilst we're in hospital, Rob and I said that we're going to have to do something, whether Anna lived or she died. He had a business head on him, and I discovered that I had a voice that I didn't realise I had. And it may surprise you to know that brain tumours are now the biggest cancer killer of children and young people in this country now, which, yes, I'm sure you're all surprised out there, but it is. And there's little awareness out there as well. And I had to have something very positive, we did as a family, come out of a huge personal tragedy, and that Anna's name lives on, giving hope to children and young people with a brain tumour.
All right, well, next time we speak, we'll find out just exactly the work of Anna's Hope. But for now, Carol, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Hey, you can find out more about Anna's Hope on their website. It's annashope.co.uk, and we'll hear more from Carol throughout the month, and all the interviews will be available on the Cambridge 105 Radio website.